Hi, I'm Steve Engelberg, editor-in-chief of ProPublica. Our guest today at the podcast is Paul Keel, who for the past several months has been writing about the arcane world of payday and installment lending. In his ongoing series, Debt, Inc., Paul has outlined the dangers of these triple-digit rate loans and how the industry has managed to survive in state after state despite attempts to ban the products. He joins us in the Storage Closet Studio to share his findings. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the basics of this. Why do people take out payday loans or installment loans in the first place? Why don't they just go to their bank?
That's actually a really good question, because the idea is always it's an emergency. That's the way that they're marketed. That's how the industry makes arguments for itself. But there's been good data that that Pew has done in terms of surveys of customers, and these are people who are making on average around $30,000 a year. They're really squeezed, and they end up using them more often than not to meet kind of regular holes, you know, in their budget. Or as one woman put it to me, you know, she was between paychecks. And then it becomes kind of part of their, it's an ongoing relationship they develop with the lender, which is precisely what makes them so profitable, as opposed to just a one-time thing that they get over.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. So I'm imagining there's somebody who's got a job, and let's say they get hit by a medical expense. Paycheck isn't for another week, and they need to pay a bill. So where do they go?
If they're in New York, none of these places are legal. So typically what advocates say is you should try going to a credit union or a community bank, try more conventional forms of credit. There are sometimes nonprofits in communities that try to, you know, address this sort of thing. I think probably one short answer for that is it actually is a difficult question, particularly if someone doesn't have a good credit history. And I don't think you shouldn't downplay the fact that this is a problem. But what ends up being really difficult is for these types of options, like, you know, credit unions or whatever, to be available to people in a situation like Texas, where there are 3,500 of these high-cost lenders in the state, on every corner, on the radio, billboards, TV, all over the place. Right there, they don't ask any questions, they give you cash. Nothing could be easier than that.
So it's kind of bad credit, no problem.
Right.
Okay, so let's just say I got bad credit. I went bankrupt, it's 5 years of hard times, I've been in and out of work, I've been unemployed, I've got some bills already. So I'm one of these folks who really can't go to the credit union, and there are all these great places who are here to help. So I go in and I borrow a couple of $100 and I pay the bill. What's the interest rate on these loans?
If you ask somebody from the industry, they would give you a long speech about how annual percentage rate is a bad measure of what their product is. We can get into that, but just the brief answer is it says in the contract, according to federal law, they have to put what the annual percentage rate is, the APR. For a payday loan, it's going to be, you know, around 400 to 450% typically. That's an annual rate. What it looks like in reality is basically if you're taking out $100, the fee is $20, and that's due in 2 weeks. And they make the argument, you know, $20, that doesn't sound that much. But of course, if you need $100, $20 is a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you can sort of see how if it's $20 in 2 weeks, that's a pretty high interest rate. But people, they're in a jam, right? It's not like they look at that number and it says 455% over a year. And I suppose the guy says, but you're not going to pay it back over a year. You'll pay it back in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Does that happen?
It does happen, yeah. The average borrower is someone who takes up something like 10 loans in a 12-month period. So that a key part of payday loans in particular is what some people call a rollover, where you have the $20 that's due in 2 weeks. You can't pay $120, which is what you owe. So instead, you just pay the $20. And then you do that maybe 10 times in a row. And then you've ended up paying far more than, you know, what you initially set out. And that's why those products are so profitable for lenders.
Now, let's distinguish, because we've used two different terms here. You use the term payday loan, and you've used the term installment loan. What's the difference?
So a payday loan is a type of loan that basically exploded in the 90s, and it's typically a two-week loan, and just what we just described. You walk into a place, I need $100, they give you a check for $100, they say $120 is due in 2 weeks. And usually it's secured. You have to have a bank account or something. So you traditionally, you would give them a check that's dated 2 weeks in the future that has that amount. And people tend to go into the store to make their payment. And when they go into the store, they can either roll it over, like we said, or they can pay off the full amount. So it's secured by money in your bank account, essentially. An installment loan is very different in structure. It's basically you pay what you owe over a number of months. For instance, you're borrowing $100. Typically, it won't be any fewer than 5 months, and the interest rate will be lower. But we can get into how they make that a product that's actually very akin to a payday loan, even though the structure is very different.
Well, let's talk about that. So the installment loan sounds like a better deal, doesn't it? Lower interest rate, you kind of know what you're going to pay, 5 months, you're done. That sounds not so bad if you're in a tight spot. So what's the problem?
Right. So there's nothing inherent to paying something down over time that's bad. You know, that's how mortgages work. And that is, you know, one of the main problems with payday loans or similar loans, which like auto title loans, are this factor where they're due in a very short period of time, and so they end up being rolled over.
The
and
2 weeks.
Yes, right. And they're not paid down over time. So the industry itself makes this argument, hey, we're not payday loans. People are paying down principal. And that was one reason why I thought it was important to delve into this industry, because there's not really much data. How many people are taking these out? You know, a lot of these companies are private, not public. So, you know, there are estimates that 10 million people are taking out payday loans and roughly the same amount take out installment loans. But it's pretty amazing that products that have that wide of a customer base, there's this level of ignorance. But so the installment loan, how it becomes problematic is a couple of different ways. First is on paper, they seem to have lower rates, but they basically package all of these ancillary products with the loan that have the effect of sometimes more than doubling the annual rate. And these tend to be insurance products. Sometimes you have a choice as to whether you get it or not. Sometimes you don't. And the times when you do have a choice, it's not really made clear to customers a lot of the times that they do have a choice. And those products are absolutely crucial to the company's profitability and making them more expensive than they seem. So that's one issue with the loans. And the other one is, on paper, you have a five-month term. So you borrow your $100, you pay it down with the interest over 5 months. But the imperative for employees who I talk to for the biggest installment lender, World Finance, is you need to get people, after they've made a couple of payments, to come back in. And they get a little bit of money, you know, sometimes they call it the equity that they've built up, basically the principal they've paid down. They take that out and then use it kind of like a credit card in a way. Every couple of months, come in and get you a little bit of money and keep on paying payments. But of course, when you're doing that, you're making no progress whatsoever in paying down the loan. It's a little harder to explain to people than a payday loan, which is, I think, why the industry has gotten a little less attention. That sort of thing, keeping people churning on the loan, is the exact same thing that makes payday loans profitable for payday lenders.
Right, because the interest just keeps spinning and spinning.
Right, so it's a different structure, but the outcome ends up being pretty similar, actually.
Well, now, the payday lenders did come under some pretty strong attack in various states. We have a whole bunch of states in the last 10 or 15 years that have actually banned payday lending. Has that stopped this sort of activity?
Yeah, so it has a real effect. So there are some states like New York that never allowed it, so it was never legal. And basically the background to this is, you know, a lot of states had interest rate caps historically. And then there was this explosion in interest rates in the late 70s and early 80s that led to a lot of states lifting their caps. And that kind of created an environment where this sort of product could move in. And a lot of laws were passed in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s that explicitly allowed payday lending. And the tide has really turned, you know, in the last 10 years or so, especially the last 5 years, where you see a lot of states banning, sometimes that have had allowed it and now are banning it, some where the law wasn't clear and so they're making it clear that they're banning and that sort of thing. But when they do that, there are kind of shadier operations, places that are like offshore in the Caribbean or that affiliate themselves with Native American tribes and still try to make loans. And in those cases, like in New York and Arkansas, if you have an attorney general who is aggressive about this issue, they can be deterred. And everything shows that when you make it illegal for you know, this sort of activity to go on, you know, those loans will continue, but it'll be far, far fewer than it was before the, you know, the ban went into place.
To some extent, though, also haven't the installment lenders come in behind the payday lenders as the payday lending has been banned?
Right. Their structure is totally different. So there has to be sort of a comprehensive response. And that's kind of what's happening right now. And that's kind of the background, a lot of the pieces that I wrote recently, that payday lenders are changing. So I wrote about this one company that's done nothing but installment loans for years. And now in the last, say, 10 years, but especially the last 5 years, payday lenders have been moving into installment loans in response to this crackdown.
Now, it sounds like this is a pretty risky business, right? Lending to people who have bad credit. So do these companies make a decent return on their money? They make money?
Yeah, there are a few of the largest payday lenders are public companies, and their stock has been doing very well. The installment loan company I wrote about, stock has tripled in the last, you know, several years. So, yeah, they're doing well, and they're very worried about the Financial Protection Bureau, which was formed by the financial crisis bill that passed in 2010. So they're very wary about that. So like any investor, you know, securities filing they make has this disclosure, like, you know, we're kind of worried about this. That's something that's clouding their horizon. But I'm currently working on a piece about an auto title lender that has doubled in the last 5 years and says it's planning to double in the next five again.
And their business model would depend upon the ability to charge these very large fees over a period of time.
Right.
Well, let's take a look at this from a different perspective. These companies are making a very handsome return, but aren't they doing a service? You know, you're that guy who's out of work who has to pay the medical bill, and it's the cancer treatment for your wife. I mean, you know, shouldn't society have a place for people with bad credit to take care of emergencies? Isn't there an aspect in which these lenders are providing something of a public service?
Right. The argument that consumer advocates make is, we want other options to be available, and it kind of tends to come with the admission that there aren't that many great options, or particularly when you compare, again, a payday lender and auto title lender being everywhere. They're everywhere. And so that's sort of a thing that you know, even federal regulators have tried to urge community banks to expand this sort of offering. But it's risky to make loans to risky people. So there are some reforms that have kind of given a nod to that and basically set up a structure that payday loans still exist in a very, very restricted form. And there are states like Colorado, Oregon, so the interest rates tend to be, you know, over 100%, but not 400%. There's a, you know, limit on how many times people can take them out in a year or how many times they can roll them over. So that's one solution states have. And of course, the industry hates that sort of regulation.
But, well, it sounds like that might significantly lower profits if that became nationwide.
Right. But they don't completely pull out of the state. So, I mean, we wrote about Washington, which said no more than 8 loans, payday loans, in a 12-month period. So the number of loans have fallen drastically, but they haven't vanished. They're no longer in every corner, but there's still a lot of, you know, hundreds of locations in the state. So
does it appear that there is a chance that the federal government and this new consumer protection agency might really restrict this nationally? Is that something that's in the wind here?
Particularly with payday loans, yes, that's definitely in the wind, because they released a report in the spring that was very critical of this cycle of debt problem or debt trap. But the big but is that they do not have authority to cap interest rates. That was actually in the bill that created them, which has led to a lot of concern about just this installment loan issue that we've been talking about. Because if they pass a regulation that would somehow limit, you know, how many payday loans you can get or how you can roll them over, that sort of thing, but that wouldn't affect, you know, these installment loan products. So then maybe the payday lenders just move there, which is what they've been doing. So it's something that could have a major effect, but then, you know, is it just this whack-a-mole problem all over again?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, if people are desperate, is trying to control this kind of high-cost, high-risk lending a little bit like trying to stop the tide? I mean, if it isn't payday lenders, isn't it just Joe the loan shark? I mean, isn't this always going to exist in society no matter what we do?
It's going to exist in some level, I think, but it's an issue of thousands of people versus tens of thousands, which is, you know, versus hundreds of thousands. So like, you know, say like New York, for instance, I think the interest rate cap here is 25%. So any loan that looks like a payday loan that's made in New York is illegal under state law. And so that's why you've seen the attorney general go after them. But, you know, those loans are being made. But if you compare that to a state where payday lending is legal, there's like basically no comparing the two in terms of the number of consumers who are taking out this sort of loan.
Well, Paul Keel, Thank you very much. We'll look forward to reading future reports on this.
Right, thanks.
For more of Paul's reporting on payday and installment loans, visit our series page at www.propublica.org/debt. Thanks for listening. For ProPublica, I'm Steve Engelberg. See you next time.